Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 4th of April, recording at 9:33 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Stock markets in Asia, a little bit mixed, mostly steady, including, interestingly, Thailand on the heels of the Thaksin Shinawatra resignation. That's interesting. More about that in a moment. Europe closed with modest declines on the day, all under 9% of the various indices that I've seen. And Wall Street closed with modest gains on the day overall, so steady generally. In government bonds, more weakness here today, although possibly at a slower, right? You know, I would say, although most of these bond markets closed well off their highs for the day, and were also down on the day. I'm talking about the long-dated government bond markets now. So that sector remains particularly weak. In terms of currencies, and this was big, we had the dollar get hit in here today against the, it looks like the European currencies in particular. And in metals, a little bit of profit taking, hardly surprising after the Friday and Monday, and some of them had been rallying since pretty strongly since before last Friday. Energy a little softer in here, backing away again following the recent strength. Okay, let's get back to the stock market cycle overall. First, bottom line, the bulls are still in charge. The M&A activity and the liquidity are certainly keeping markets firm for the moment. Now, something I mentioned before and that I want to bring up again here, I am struck by the fact that one of my very favorite sectors, which shown such a stunning performance overall in the last three years or more, some of those big industrial mining shares I'm thinking of now, things like Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton, and their smaller companies, of course, that have done even better. They were first into the correction, such as we've seen to date, and saw bigger corrections than have occurred elsewhere generally. And then they've come right back up and gone on into new high ground. And then we had Japan and South Korea. They were early into the correction. You know, I make the point that leaders often lead. And so we saw Japan peak, go into a medium-term correction, but then break upwards recently. Now, South Korea hasn't broken upwards once again, but it's a pretty firm performance. And if I were a betting man, I'd bet that it will break up out of its current range. I'm talking about the KOSPI index now. Break up out of its current range rather than down out of its current range. So the leaders that had led on the way up over the last 3 years, and could put Australia in that category as well, but Canada also, and they experienced corrections, then they pushed back up, and they moved through to new all-time highs. So that's another point that favors the bulls here, at least in the short term. And it may need that I need to reset my parameters a bit on this correction, although I don't want to jump too hastily to that conclusion. What I'm more inclined to do is just run with what I like, certainly while it's performing, and not tell the market what to do in here. You know, I'm always saying I don't want to be telling the market what to do, and that way you can get run over by a two-ton gorilla. I prefer just to let the market tell me where it's going, and it's saying, I believe, that it is going to go a bit higher in most instances before it next goes lower to any degree. That's about as far as I'll go on that. Are there signs of froth? Of course there are, including the M&A activity, which I've mentioned many times before. Are there some signs of weakness? Sure there are. We've seen, posted that utilities index in the U.S., interest rate sensitive areas, and then there's the bond markets. And I think this is particularly important, and I've said that, that global bond markets, long-dated government bond markets, are in the early stages of a secular bear market, meaning that prices are going to come down and interest rates, long-term interest rates, are going to go up. And I've done a review. I haven't posted it yet. It's been a busy day in here, of the yield charts, but you can see those in the library at any time. And they all look to me like base formations, very much in their big base formations, very much in the latter stages of development. So, and I'm relieved to be short of a whole range of long-dated government bonds, including the Euro bunds. Those are the first ones I shorted, JGBs, gilts, 10-year treasuries, and 30-year treasuries. And I actually added to one of those in here today, the 30-year treasuries. So that's the interest rate trend, and it is relevant for stock markets. And in the short term, as you've heard me say before, it's a bit of a bull factor for equities, because some people are coming out of the fixed interest markets and putting that money into equities. And the strength of the equities relative to bonds means that they're also inclined to say, well, if we've got new money, we'd rather put it in bonds, which are doing better. But the time in the sand and the hourglass may well be running out of that, or close to running out of that not-so-good bonds, more attractive equities hourglass, at least in terms of a medium-term correction, because there is a Rubicon at some point in terms of psychological perceptions where conservative pension fund type investors will say, you know what, stock markets have gone up an awfully long way, and some of these yields now in government bond markets are beginning to look reasonably juicy, and if we can lock in that guaranteed yield over the long term, do we really want to be taking any unnecessary risks with stock markets? Now, I don't know where that transition point is any more than anybody else does. It'll be a matter of other events and psychology, but it will certainly happen in that these markets cannot diverge in perpetuity. They can certainly diverge for a number of months, and they've only really started to diverge in a serious way, although bonds were just range bound for years before the current bout of weakness. But meanwhile, I remain short bonds, but I really have jammed my stops down. And why have I done that? Well, because we are certainly within sight of a 5% yield on the 30-year treasury. Or is it the 10-year treasury? I think it's the 10-year treasury. And we are certainly within sight of a 4% yield on, say the gilts. A little bit further to go for the Euro bunds, and we're within sight of a 2% yield for the JGBs. Now, I think that 5-10 years from now, yields will be much higher than those levels for these long-dated government bonds, secular bear market, and I aim to ride it pretty well most of the way, taking profits from time to time, but I've just jammed down those stops, and also because I'm a little bit risk-averse in here at this stage. And all I'm really risking at this stage is profit or profit and profit potential. In other words, a little bit of volatility, and I'll get yanked out of most of those positions here. But the trends have had a pretty good move, and so I am going to play it tight at this stage, not necessarily using technical stops. Now, elsewhere in currencies, I did reopen a long of the euro against the dollar today. I don't like to pay up, really, and certainly not in this ranging currency market. And before I did that, I bought a little bit more gold, roughly around current levels, because precious metals were taking a bit of a breather, and I saw the dollar going quite weak in here. And you know, I'm a dollar bear. I've been a dollar bear really since I saw that high in November, and we're seeing a sort of a gradual ranging decline in the dollar against other reserve currencies, or I believe so. The evidence isn't conclusive here. It never is until you've seen a really big reaction overall. But have a look at the U.S. dollar index chart, for instance. I think that's pretty clear. And have a look at the euro dollar chart, and that looks to me as if very much like a base for the euro, and we had a bit of a breakout, upside breakout, by the euro here today. And so that looks favorable. So I did pay up. I didn't take a big position, and I'll add to it. I'll add to it if the euro were to ease back against the dollar. And if it doesn't, if it just goes straight on up, that's why I jumped in case it might do that, since it was a breakout. Then I would just put it in the money stop and add a little bit more on the strength. So I think we are going to see 140 again at some point. I was very tempted to buy something like the New Zealand dollar or the Aussie, which had both been nailed. The Aussie has been moving up a bit off its lows, but I'm not. Whereas the New Zealand's struggling a bit more, but I'm not so keen to do that because both those governments, particularly New Zealand, were quite adamant about curbing the strength in their currencies. So the ECB, well, it's a little bit worried about inflationary pressures. Growth is picking up, so hopefully they will not be quite so anxious in terms of weakening their currency. And you know what I've said before so many times, no country in this environment wants a strong currency. That's just a given. But some countries want weak currencies more than others, and this is kind of a pass the parcel situation. And in New Zealand, they found the Kiwi dollar got so strong that suddenly, you know, action here, we've got to do something and get this thing down. And of course, the easiest way to do that is to print money and then jawbone it down simultaneously. I'm pretty convinced that the U.S. wants a weaker dollar in here to help maintain the GDP growth, especially as those interest rates have been going up, and they want to make sure that doesn't kite the dollar higher. And they're succeeding. So maybe the ECB at the moment is less fearful of a strong euro than they have been in the past. That'll all change to get the euro breaking up above 130, 135, and so on, let alone getting up to around the 140 level, but we're not there yet. So that's that position, and I also have a long in the Swissie. And I'm also thinking, in terms of reserve currencies, where are they going to go? If people decide, countries decide to, or big speculators, to diversify a bit out of the dollar, which had a pretty good year last year up until November, where are they actually going to go in terms of other reserve currencies? Well, you know, the two big candidates are obviously the euro and the yen, but the yen doesn't yield anything. So And it doesn't yield anything at a time when the ECB is taking a bit of a hard line in here. Now, we know that Japanese interest rates are going to go up at some point, but they haven't gone up yet. But they are going up in Euroland. So that makes the euro the choice in my book. And then the Swissie gets dragged along with it, although it's probably not quite as good because it's a lower yielding currency. So that's my thoughts on that. And metals, I think that the patterns are awfully good in here still, but again, I've jammed my stops up. I've increased my leverage a lot in the last month or so, but I've done it very conservatively. I start small, and then if it's performing, then I put in an in-the-money stop, and then I look for it a moment to add a little bit more, and sort of built it up on that basis. So I can lose profit, but I probably wouldn't go into an outright loss. And as I said before, unless something very dramatic happened and gap down through my stops. And so, as I say, I'm risking profit and profit potential in here, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of risks in this environment. And what else to mention here? Oil. I did say that the energy complex had backed off a little bit. I don't think it's going to be weak for too long, but we are still in this medium-term correction overall. But I believe the next big move will be on the upside, judging from the supply-demand factors, and particularly that inexorable rise in demand. And I think the currency factors might also have a part to play in this. And then production is not all that secure if we look around the globe. So that's pretty much how I see it at the moment in here. And it's an interesting old time, isn't it? Plenty of money making opportunities. It's been a good few weeks in here for some of us, and I very much hope that you've participated in some of these opportunities in the trading sphere. And then our core investment holdings are doing pretty well as well. And no doubt you've got some even better winners that have absolutely nothing to do with floor money, but I hope they're covered in the chart library. Last thought on the chart library, you ain't seen nothing yet. And we're going to swing into equities, and in a very big way, in addition to some our long-term charts and all kinds of enhancements. There are those poor, long-suffering souls out there, poor only in the sense of the long-suffering, who have been saying, why can't we have semi-logarithmic candlestick charts and so on? Well, I'll put in a feature so that you can do that. Put in a cursor so you can check prices more easily. All these things are in the pipeline, and they're pretty well all going to happen this year. And why is that? Well, because more Fuller Money it's commercial. More Fuller Money subscribers, more revenue. People say, well, let's devote more resources. Let the guy have what he wants for the library. A virtuous circle, I trust, for all of us. I'm looking forward to the addition of some fairly substantial chart libraries providing both point and figure and candlestick charts on not only the daily and the weekly basis on the candlesticks, but we will have, depending on what works out best, either well, we will have some quite long-term charts, as long-term as there's data that we can get from our normal source. So, that's it, folks. All the best. We look forward to another exciting day tomorrow.